Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. I'm your host, as ever. It's weird looking in your eyes. I'm your host, as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and this week I am joined live in person by Christopher Somari.
Hi, Louis.
Hi.
I forgot just how dazzlingly handsome you are in person.
Likewise.
I know you put the filters on Zoom and all that to make yourself look younger,
yep.
But I'm getting the real Louis tonight, and yep. You've still got it, mate. I'll give you that.
Thank you. I'll take that. We are also, well, we're here in person in the humble abode of our gallant leader, Mr. Gallagher.
Hello, Louis. It's a pleasure to be on the weekly as a guest. I do a lot of kind of hosting, so it's good to get my points of view across. Thank you for inviting me.
And listen, it's great to have you here. This is the first weekly we've done. Certainly since pre-COVID, in person, live.
So the last weekly that was done was the Tuesday before the big announcement about when Boris Johnson came out and said, right, stay at home and all that. So that was the Tuesday, and I think the big announcement was the Thursday, was it? Some anime, you'd know better, Wednesday or Thursday. So it was like two days.
It was just before we were due to play them at Ibrox.
On the Saturday.
In fact, yeah, we were going to do the live show on the Saturday, weren't we?
Live show on the Saturday and then on the Sunday. And that's your birthday that weekend.
Yep, that's right.
But yeah, so it was all very kind of, I think you recorded at Bowdy's. And then Barry was there. And so this is the first time we've recorded in person, the weekly certainly. Since then, so it's a bloody pleasure to have you guys in my humble abode.
Yep.
Smashing, he's even brought the coffee out. So, what kind of coffee is that?
It's Nicaraguan burnt something, I don't know.
Fair trade, organic?
It's co-op's own, I'm only joking.
No, the co-op are fair trade.
Yeah.
And some sort of nut-based milk, isn't it?
I mean, you're looking at me like I'm an absolute
dick. Oh, hold on, you just said you want milk, is that not from a...
You didn't even realise.
You forgot. He's no had cow's milk.
I did
for
forget
a
bit of taste. I'm not gonna lie. The wee trays here are nice. It's like very, very Strathbungo, isn't it?
Strathbungo
CSE.
He's moved out to the suburbs now, though. Wee glass of water there.
Hey, Claire had that in her flat. So that's all I'm saying.
Claire doesn't listen to this anyway.
It's more of a Bristol thing than a Strathbungo thing, which is worse than Strathbungo.
Under the bus.
Just left it at Strathbungo. Yep.
Under the bus, Claire.
Left it there.
There is more coffee in that cafetiere, want more.
Yep. You ready for a top up?
Aye, go and top me.
Go on.
Right, listen, we're gonna start with some news.
Say
before. When he's filled it to the brim so that I can't pick it up.
Right, that's it done now, so.
Right, we're gonna start with some news because VAR has been voted in. I think it was voted in unanimously. All clubs voted for it.
There was one club, it was leaked that there was one club that said no, and I think there was a couple more, but essentially it was like 40 to 3 or 4, I think.
All the Premier League teams voted in, eh?
Yeah. Rangers certainly voted like a turkey voting for Christmas. Or not.
Thoughts on VAR, Samani?
VAR's only as good as who's operating it. I always remember when they trialled it in England. Was it the cup competitions they started it with?
Yeah.
And I thought that was garbage. They were making a big mess of it. But then at the World Cup in 2018, I thought it was really well done. It was quick. That's the most important thing. Yeah. Decisions are made quick. Referee, side of the pitch, big telly. It's like, you know, the ones that they wheeled in at school. They get one of them at the end and it's all done quick. So see if it's operated well. I like it. I know some people don't like it at all, but I think if it's done quickly and it's done efficiently, it will and it should be a good addition. I know there's a lot of Celtic fans that are a bit sceptical of how it will be operated, but I'll remain positive on it the moment.
John Hartson's came out and basically said if they want it to work and to be impartial, they need to bring in foreign referees or English referees to do it, because you're not going to get any impartiality with the current crop of refs, which we saw on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I would. Obviously, I think we would all agree with that. But I think it's funny with our. I mean, I think we're probably all similar that we were all very much against it when it first came out.
Yeah.
Probably principally in the idea of it. I think, you know, I just could not get behind it. But I think you're right. I think that's the only thing that worries me a wee bit, is that not all VAR is equal. you know, different countries and different leagues seem to do it differently.
There's also a bit, there seems to be a bedding in period, which I think, you know, the ridiculousness of this situation is they're going to embed it in, if you will, after the World Cup. So it's going to come in around, what, January time?
They said that was to train up the referees and how
we've got a fucking, what, we've got to train them up now.
But have a lot of them not already used it? You know, the ones that certainly have been involved in European competition will have used it, will they not?
Yeah, like Bobby Madden, who is one of our European grade referees. But I will say this about VAR. Christian doesn't like it. I'm all for it.
Yeah. The thing I think about it, though, ultimately, though, is see if we do... Imagine scoring a winner at Ibrox in the 92nd minute and it goes to VAR and it's chopped off. Like, it is going to slow the game down, I think. I'd rather not have it, personally, but...
See, it gets to the point, though, where it exists within the best, the upper echelons of the game. You kind of have to just get on board with it.
I get it.
And there are moments as well, you're right, you get a 92nd minute winner at Ibrox and it gets chopped off. You know, conversely, they get a 92nd minute winner somewhere and it gets chopped off. You get that moment of joy as well, so, you know...
These things balance themselves out.
Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is you will get joy from both sides of it. You know, you'll celebrate when we score and then it doesn't work. But there will be moments where they think they've scored and then you'll erupt because it's not going to count. You know, I'm trying to look in the positives here, lads.
Yeah, fair enough. But one thing I would say is, what do you think about the fact that it's coming in halfway through a season? I mean, that's going to cause, if there's decisions, let's just say that we are 6 points ahead in January and we get a decision that they'll use evidence to say, look, at the start of the season, we didn't get this, and they'll do their whole fucking statement thing and they'll do the whole thing about unfairness. It's just going to cause a lot of shite, I think. It's going to cause a lot of rubbish. Either start it at the start of the season or don't. Starting it halfway through the season, I think, is ludicrous. But, you know, Scottish football, isn't it?
Well, I mean, have they said, I mean, what's the idea behind it? Why not just wait until the next season?
I think they want to embed it as quickly as possible. Also, I think I think if you look at like England and Germany, there was a bedding in period.
Aye, there will be.
So they're saying, actually, this will just get us ahead. But I just don't know why they can't. I mean, we're April now, so why can they not train them May, June, July, August and, you know, start this? Oh, that's fucking stupid.
They also said they need to get fibre to all stadiums, you know, internet and all that. I don't know.
If you had a good provider, you could recommend.
I've got no complaints about Virgin Media. There are other internet providers available, they seem to be fairly reliable.
Brilliant.
still hunting for a deal after somebody here, do you know?
It sounds like we've moved into the last territory, yes. To be honest with you. Well, in the room, so two vote in, one vote out.
Yeah, pretty much.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Other bit of news was Julian played today for the B team.
Yep.
Did he play the full game?
I think he came off. But he played the majority of the game. Mikey Johnson played as well and scored the first goal.
Karamoko Dembele played as well.
Dembele played, and even if maybe it's just at that level, he looked great. He looked really good. He set up the second goal. It was finished 2-2, I think, and then it went to penalties. But
straight to penalties it went?
Yeah. From what I saw of it, I didn't watch it all, but I was kind of coming and going with it. Dembele, you know, he looked great, but you'd never know if it's just that level. If you can step up.
Do you think we'll see Julian before the end of the season?
Nah. It just doesn't seem... You know, when he made his comeback after the injury, and you know, it was nice to see him back because it was a horrendous injury he had. He's never struck me as an Ange-type player, just in terms of his pace. He just seems like a guy who, you know, if we're playing the way that we want to play, his recovery pace isn't going to be enough. So there's too much at stake between now and the end of the season, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the summer.
It's only 5 games, isn't it? Like,
if we win the league before the last game, you might get a cameo from him, but I don't see if there's anything at stake. I don't see him playing.
No,
I mean, obviously played today. It just seems a bit strange that he would play in the B game. I mean, could that be maybe seen as trying to get him ready to feature at some point, even if it is just to
Well, I think if you, obviously we're going to talk on the semi-final, but, you know, Stephen Welsh coming off the bench and, you know, Carter Vickers looked really dead on his feet towards the end of that game. So maybe it's just keeping our options open. Maybe it's like, we'll just, let's get him a little bit of match fitness just in case. But I'm with Sir Manny. I don't want to see Julian play for Celtic with the last five games with so much pressure on it, because it's just too much.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably the sensible thing would be if we do have the league wrapped up, then he might play. But
I don't think his future's at Celtic. I think he'll leave in the summer. I think he's away.
I'd agree.
He's a big handsome man.
A good looking boy,
Right, okay, listen, we've scuttered around the issue long enough. Let's get to it. Game of the weekend, Sir Manny. How do you feel about it now?
I'm glad we're recording a couple of days after it. You know, the immediate reaction after the game. See if you don't go mental after losing to them immediately after a game and you're reactionary, then you're no supporting Celtic, right? But a couple of days later, a wee bit more thought into it, I'm still not okay with the result, but I'm thinking about the bigger picture just now.
Yeah.
If we're going back and talking about the actual performance, that's fine. It just wasn't good enough in just about nearly every area. But Sunday's game is more important than the semi-final was. It was more important before that game kicked off, and it's still more important afterwards. So the eyes and the prize. The prize is still the league title. That was a really sore one, and I know we'll talk about it and we'll break down the performance and how we were. But if we still go on to win the league, fine, you know. So I'm a bit calmer than I was yesterday. I started to calm down, and today I'm starting to think, right, okay, we can't let this get in our head. All eyes on the prize, focus on Sunday, and see where we go. What about you, Louis? You're a reactionary kid. What are you thinking about? You still bailing out?
I'm still bitter,
Have you got a bit of paper with people that you're going to get through here?
I think Alan said it on the agenda, how we feel a bit let down still. And that's how I feel. I feel as if they've all let us down. And I include Ange in that. You know, I don't think you can look at that game back even and not be a bit frustrated with him and how he went about things. So I think they all need to kind of carry the can for it. I think I still feel a bit bemused by the whole thing, because I feel like there was one thing I said it to myself in the morning. You know, everybody's got their own routines and all that, but everybody's sitting there thinking about the game and how it's going to go and things. And the one thing I thought in my own head, talking to myself, I was like, the one thing you know is they're going to turn up, you know, and you don't need to worry about that anymore, that they're not going to turn up. And that's the one thing that got me, and it stung me on all that night and all the, you know, since then. It's just like, it blindsided me, because I thought this Celtic team had turned that corner where we weren't that team anymore, that we would kind of rise to the occasion. No, obviously, you're not always going to win. I understand that. But to kind of not turn up and not play your best football, that really surprised me, because I really thought we were a team to do that. How are you feeling, Gil?
Still furious.
Furious?
Furious. Nah, I'm not furious. I've calmed down a lot. I had a couple of pints yesterday. And that took the edge off a little bit. But this morning, I don't know if this morning, I kind of woke up and I was just a little bit angry again. And I think it's to do with kind of what you said just there, Louis. I can't take Celtic getting beat, but when Celtic lose, having put everything into it, then I kind of go, well, you know what? You lose football matches sometimes. That happens. That's fine. Semi-finals, there's pressure. I get that. But I just felt like, I just feel like we didn't turn up, and that's really the big frustration. Now, I would caveat that by saying, you know, Ange is a guy that, you know, he came in under a cloud. He completely galvanised the support, and he has galvanised the support. We are, to an extent, expecting him to be a miracle worker, which, if we win this league, he kind of will be in a lot of ways. And all that. And I need to put that in a box for this game. Because you know, we had a week to prepare. They had a game on Thursday. So I'm just trying to connect the dots of how they can come out with that intensity, because they had a lot of intensity. I thought they were quite blunt in regards to, you know, I don't think they've got a lot. They're not very sharp up front. Yeah. We could have won that game, mm-hmm. is the other thing. So, but they had an intensity and they had a level of, I hate this phrase, but it just seemed like they wanted it more. And you know, that's honestly how it felt as a fan watching that game. And the fact of the matter is, we have better players. If everyone turns up, I think we put them to the sword. But that's two derbies in a row. We've been really disappointing.
So two derbies in a row.
Yeah, we were disappointing at Ibrox, I thought.
What? You didn't say that in the reaction that day.
Well, I'm talking about actually how we performed. We won the game, so on the reaction, you just react like fucking brilliant. But
I disagree. I mean, I think we played differently. I mean, some people have talked about how we didn't get a grip in the midfield, and I would say that's probably the same case at Ibrox. But we retreated and defended. I thought we defended without too many problems at Ibrox. So it was a wee bit different. But I suppose the issue that I've got is it's about trying to find a balance, because we beat them and then we beat St Johnstone 7-0. We were on the weekly last week and I couldn't think of any more adjectives other than brilliant, phenomenal, fantastic. And now we're at the depths of despair. And don't get me wrong, that performance was... I'm not defending the performance in any way, shape or form. What I'm trying to do and trying to focus on is that game... If you said put it in a box, it's important not to let... It's not even about the fans, because the fans are going to be the way they are, they're passionate. But it's important for the squad not to let that get into their head whatsoever, because it was the cup. If you told me before that game, if you could win every game bar one, what game would you pick? I'd have picked that one.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously you can't do that, and I'm making up fantasy situations here. But for me, it was disappointing. We'll come and talk about it, but I just want it. We've played really good against St Johnstone. We've got a good squad of players. I think the trajectory with us is on the way up. I think their trajectory is they've kind of got to the level, their highest level, and it's now coming back down. One of the things that upset me, or you know, got to me a wee bit, was because we'd beaten them the last two times, it's all or nothing for the Celtic support. We've either got no chance against them, or we'll put them at the sword. We're going to beat them 4-0. We're going to do this. Whereas in reality, there isn't too much between the sides. And I think that was proven on Sunday. We're nowhere near as good as we want to be. But they're also not as far ahead of us as they were last season. So I'm trying to keep a bit of perspective, because I think ultimately the league is what you want. And Sunday is bigger. The pitchforks, I think I said it in the chat, the pitchforks in the back pocket for me until after Sunday. If we lose on Sunday, the next weekly will be a bit higher. I don't know if I'm alone there, because I'm not sensing that vibe, but it's just...
I get what you're saying, but I think there's... And I don't want to... You know, we've kind of joked about it and said how, you know, the league's in the bag and the treble's in the bag and that, right, things like that. But, you know, I think... See, if the league was closer, you know, mm-hmm. if there was only a couple of points in it and it was, you know, really, really tight, then I maybe would have said that weekend, right, fuck it, the league is what I'm after. That's the most important thing. Whereas, to be honest with you, in my head, I kind of have already got the league won. I can see clearly how we can win it. And then, so the Scottish Cup became my main focus.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I'm like, right, we can get that one. I know we can get that one. I want this one. But it's the way we just... It's the way we just didn't arrive. We didn't, you know, it felt as if this was a team that, for some reason, couldn't rise to the occasion. And you think about it during the week. I mean, you mentioned the fact that, you know, they had the game on Thursday. You know, I was going into it, and again, it's just purely because we're fans and we're emotional and all that sort of stuff. But getting into the game, I thought everything was set up perfect for us. Like, we couldn't have written it really any better, other than maybe them going out of Europe on the Thursday, but they went to extra time and all that sort of stuff. I kind of feel as if it was the opposite for the Celtic team. I feel as if that Celtic team looked at them in Europe, saw them going through.
Maybe we've got too much time.
That dented them a bit.
Maybe we've got too much time on our hands.
I think that's definitely true, because they would be more likely to drop points after Thursday against a lesser team, I think. Because, remember, we did this and, we went to Ibrox, after the Boa Vista game, I think it was. And Beach Ball Sunday. And you're on a momentum, you're on a roll. Now, this is the margins we're talking here. Away goals weren't scrapped this season, they're out in their arse. Vickers puts that chance that he hits off the bar into the back of the net, they're not beating us, we're winning them. They're out the Scottish Cup, they're out the Europa League, and they've got hardly any chance of winning the league as it stands. Everything's brilliant, we're talking about that. There's fine margins here, but they were galvanised by that. Everybody just assumed that they would be tired because of it. And do you know what? I think after the first goal, they actually did start to look leggy. But the minute they equalised, everything flipped. We looked like the team that had played 120 minutes on the Thursday, and they got a second wind. And then after that, what really disappointed me was that we weren't capable of making a fist of it in extra time. Because I thought, right, okay, things will maybe kind of balance out here in terms of kind of fitness and tiredness and things like that. But it didn't. We looked like we did last season a wee bit against them, as in sitting there going, we could play for another 90 minutes and no score. I didn't think that during the game, but certainly in the extra time period, and that was really disappointing for me.
See, for me, what I would say is, we're learning about this team all the time, right? Because it is a new team, and it's not a team that you would say is even necessarily fully functioning at the way you want it to be. And that's due to a number of factors. But what we have learned from, what I've certainly learned from Sunday, is I think that, is that if two or three of these players don't turn up, then we've got a monumental struggle on our hands, because we've got quality all over the pitch. But if you're too wide, so the system is the thing we always talk about, and how that's really, really important, and how Ange really puts all of his time and effort into the system. Brilliant, right? But see, if three guys don't turn up, no, this is the same for any team, right? Really, ultimately. But at the same time, for us, it's more stark. So for example, when Jota and Abada have the games that they have, how do you kind of counter that? They were both really, really poor. So, Maeda's running around. There was a couple of times in the first half where Jota gets into a situation where if he puts the ball across, it's on a plate for Maeda. Maeda's doing the running, he's creating the space. But the two wide forwards are fucking hopeless.
I mean, Abada came in out of the cold a bit.
Yeah, he kind of can maybe get a bit of a pass.
See, he's a guy I've been critical of, because he's young and, at times he's just looked, the assists and the goals he's got, you have to give him credit for what he's contributed. There's been other games where he's been on the pitch and basically contributed nothing.
Yeah.
But he came in out of the cold. Jota's a guy who we're considering paying £6 million for, who has had big, big moments for us this season, has gone off the boil as of late. But when you're thinking about paying that £6 million for a player, at a club of our size, not even our size, sorry, in the league that we're playing in the terms of our finances, that's big money. You want him to make key contributions at key times. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. People say he's never really turned up against them. The game at Celtic Park, I think they gave him a lot of attention. They doubled up in Jota. I think he was functional that day. He allowed other people like Kitati to come into the game. So I've never looked at Jota and thought you were really terrible against him until Sunday. And I thought, and it's not even just that, they gave him it was that he was able to, there was key moments where he could have contributed, made a difference, and he shat the bed. And that, for me, was really, really poor. And you're right, see, when the two wingers were playing so bad, that then limited the options of the guys like Hitati and Rogic, although Rogic had a permanent shadow, as we'll probably come and talk about. That really limited their options in terms of spraying the ball about as well. And that limited us. Early in the first half, they had a lot of the ball. I thought Abada was going to have Barisic and Toast, but that never materialised. And then the same with Jota, he just kind of disappeared, and that's when it started to kind of get away from us, and you thought, this isn't great.
Can I just say, wait, this one point, sorry. Every decision Jota made when the ball was in play and the ball was in his possession was wrong.
Pretty much, yeah.
Every time he, instead of going to the byline, and every time he cut the ball into his other foot, every time it was literally like almost. And by the way, I think he's a great player, and I would sign him. I don't think he will sign now, but I would if we get the opportunity to do, because I do think he's quality. But Sunday, I thought he was terrible.
See the point about, you know, players not turning up. I mean, over the years, you guys have all said it, that if one or two don't turn up, then, you know, then you can point to individuals. But if they all don't turn up, it points to something bigger. It points to something within, you know, probably you're pointing at the manager.
Yeah.
What do you think what could potentially be the reason in there? Do you think there was something, there was a lack of focus or some reason why, as a collective, that pretty much to a man, they never turned up. As a team, they never turned up. Because we can't say it in the past about Neil Lennon's teams and then no say it about Postecoglou. And I know it's only one game, but was there something wrong, do you think, in the preparation for this that just meant we arrived at the occasion really limp?
I'll maybe have more thoughts on that, but one thing that's happened that I think we maybe didn't realise at the time was, you're referring to Ibrox, and they changed their tactics from the game at Celtic Park, where they pushed up on the defenders far more to kind of not give them time at the ball. We had more of an out ball with Giakoumakis, which we didn't have. Putting Maeda through the middle, he's far more effective out in the left.
Yep.
And then when we were getting that pressure, you know, playing the ball out and things like that, if we were going, you're going long at that point, you're not going long to a guy like Giakoumakis, who can win free kicks.
Going long to anyone.
No, I know, but that's the thing under those. That's the one thing that we had that we didn't have, which then put, because then that limits. Sorry, I'm banging the table here. That then impacted on the midfield as well, in terms of trying to kind of receive the ball from the defenders and, you know, getting bogged down and things. Whereas with Giakoumakis, I think at least you've got that opportunity to go long when you do that. See if you've got Maeda through in the middle or Kyogo. That's just not happening. And I think that is one thing that we probably missed. But that doesn't answer your question about the entire performance. I just wanted to get that out. So on you go.
See, what I would say, like, kind of, I'm just going to say something probably not related, but you know, I highlighted this on the agenda yesterday. There was the chance when Jota's got the ball in the midfield and, you know, he puts this ball through to Abada, and Abada runs onto it and his first touch completely fucks him. And he'd done that like two or three times. Like, it doesn't really matter who we're playing. It doesn't really matter the tactics if those two players are so far off it, because ultimately, you're nullifying everything to do with our forward play with the exception of one guy. Maeda was running his arse off. Why did they not all turn up? Well, I thought McGregor, I thought he gets pass marks. I don't think he played particularly badly. I thought when he went up to the eight in the second half of the second half, I thought he started to find a little bit more space. I think that tells you a lot about McGregor's quality, and that's maybe why he's player of the year. I thought McGregor played well. I thought 6 yard box defending the two centre halves did okay, but coming out with the ball, I thought playing out from the back. Kieran Devlin covered it really well on the agenda yesterday when he talked about we need to have a serious conversation about playing out from the back with these players, and it's kind of true, because, you know, they let us do that. They let us kind of mix ourselves up. They let us their pressing triggers were very much a case of let them have the ball. It's like what we were saying about Goldson. Let Goldson have the ball. Press everyone else, but when Colson has the ball, let him come out, because he'll make an arse of it. So I don't know if it was maybe we had, you know, Pep Guardiola was talking this week about how sometimes for the Champions League, when he's got lots of time, he kind of overthinks everything. Maybe Ange had too much time in his hand and he got caught between a rock and a hard place. I don't know.
See, I was at the game. I think I was the only one.
Yeah, I was at christening.
Oh, you were at christening.
I did watch the game back straight away.
But, you know, being there and, like, I was in kind of in line with kind of our half for the first half, and you know, pretty much the whole game was played in front of me. Rangers were in our half for most of the game. It felt like, although maybe not the final third, but they were certainly in our half, and it felt more like a mentality thing. And this is what I'm kind of maybe speculating to. It's just this, we didn't look like a team who had the confidence of a team that had already beaten them twice in succession recently, that were sitting 6 points top of the league, had already won a trophy this season. We should have been the team that took that ball, passed it about with utter confidence, and we were more or less bullied into playing a different way. I feel as if they dictated pretty much how we went about things. And that's what I don't get, because Ange, from what we've seen with Australia and the World Cup and all the kind of behind-the-scenes stuff and all that, he seems like a guy for the big occasion. So why they didn't have the mentality of a superior team in a semi-final at Hampden against them, when all the other optics were pretty much all in our favour, that's what I don't get. Why did we seem to be a team that just didn't have the, not even the killer instinct, but just the confidence to play our own game? We were very easily thrown off.
Yeah.
You know? I know, no, we don't necessarily have the answers, but
so we're looking back to the game at Celtic Park and see some of the triangles and the quick release and, you know, Juranovic and Hatate, and We've not seen that performance that day in terms of the way that we moved the ball is what you would want to see from Ange's side. Ange ball, I hate that phrase, but that's what they want. We didn't see that, you know, we didn't see that at Ibrox, but the circumstances are a bit different there, and we definitely didn't see that there. I don't know, I think the manager said it in his post-match comments that they were afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the case, you know, because they did seem a bit hesitant on it. I think the key thing, though, probably in my head after the game, was the midfield, because I think McGregor did get pass marks. Juranovic probably got pass marks too.
Yeah.
The centre halves defended well in the penalty box. Other than that, I think you're struggling. But seeing the central midfield, see when you've got who they had in central midfield, Jack Lundstrom.
Fucking hell.
They're designed to kind of retain the ball, boot you up and down the park. When you've only got McGregor in there, and I know we'll talk about Rodic and Bassey being on him the entire time, Hatate being really poor, when we lost that midfield battle, which was fairly apparent fairly early on, I think that then becomes difficult for us. So that, I think sometimes as well, if you're kind of losing that, you're losing possession, that can then spread throughout the team. So
I think we have to touch on it, though. I think the refereeing was appalling.
Oh, well, I was waiting for us to come to that, because that then affects
everything.
It does affect everything, because Lundstrom should have been off the park.
Yeah.
To play the way that they're playing and get away with it then affects the mentality of what we can or we can't do. It's not like their fans will probably go, "We bossed them," right?
That's very much how they're seeing it.
Of course they are.
Lundstrom bullied us. They bullied us.
They bossed us, they bullied us and whatever, but they did it within a space, within a
safe space for them to do.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. A safe space. They went and kicked us with impunity. Whereas if Lundstrom never get booked, Bassey only get booked in extra time with celebrating the goal. See if those two had an early booking, which they both should have and could have got. I'm not saying the game would be different, but it makes you.
So if Lundstrom was booked early doors, which you're right, he should have been, it makes every tackle that he makes on that pitch go through his head, and it makes his decision making. I think he's a very average player at best. I think he is a clogger. I don't think there's a lot of talent there in regards to movement with the ball and decision making. I think if he gets booked early doors, he does not know how to approach his next tackle without it going through his head.
And some of our players might become braver as well, because they know, like, if I can slip away from him here and he catches me, then he's on another booking. See, when Madden refereed the game the way that Madden refereed the game, that does change the tone and the tempo of absolutely everything.
But I absolutely agree. But the thing that frustrated me watching it was we didn't seem to help each other out. Like, there seemed to be a lot of space between our midfield, you know? And see if you've got somebody coming tight to you and hounding you and, you know, putting in nasty challenges. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to have seen the midfield three get a lot closer to each other and play out of it. Just play away from it. We're the better footballers, as you're saying. You know, Lindstrom's whole game is to stifle people and play the ugly side of it. Well, don't play the fucking ugly side of it. Play out of them. Play away from them. But we never tried to solve the issues that they were giving us with football and answers. We seem to, a lot of the time, been running away from situations, and which to a certain extent is only natural because you've got the occasion and all that sort of thing. And as you say, Ange alluded to the idea of players not wanting to make mistakes. But again, that comes back to the mentality that he's trying to instill. You've got to have the confidence to play. Mm. Yeah. You've got to have the confidence to remember that. And I think Ange himself said it a few weeks ago about how the solutions are there. The footballing solutions are there to anything you're going to face. Well, do you know what? They were there at the weekend, but the players never bothered their arse to use them. Yeah. And I don't know if that has to come from Ange and maybe wee tactical tweaks during the game, and maybe that didn't happen so much. But I just would have liked to have seen us, and maybe that's the next bit of growth that we've got to do, that we need to be able to change it up during the game, solve the problems during the game and adapt, because we never really seem to adapt.
We seem to be trying to break as quickly as possible. We seem to be trying to get from back to front as quickly as possible, and in a way we were trying to... It got to the point where we were trying to bypass the midfield, and I think it was to do with how Lundstrom and Jack were getting away with fucking murder. Mm. That came down from, you know, as I say, back to the Jota and Abada thing, you know, like them being so poor. But, you know, Maeda had nothing to feed off. That midfield was really hamstrung by the performance of Tom Rogic, because Tom Rogic, on his day, performing well, it's a different game. Now, you're going to say about Bassey, and you're 100% right, but Rogic is a player who is smart enough to know how to deal with, again, another clogger like Bassey. Bassey's just a guy who's just been given a task, and you know, he's done what he's had to do. But ultimately, I think Tam was off it.
Yeah.
And I think when Tom Rogic is off it in that midfield against that quality of opposition on that occasion, I think it's a problem.
But I think you're right, though, again, that Tom Rogic is the one that you would want in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have put O'Reilly in there to face the same treatment and expect him to have done necessarily better. I would still have picked Tom Rogic if I knew that that's what Bassey was going to do, because he's got the awareness. He is physical, Tom Rogic.
Yeah, yeah.
You think he would be able to deal with it. But again, you're right. He's another prime example of a player who just didn't fucking turn up on the day.
Rogic's got credit in the bank for what he's done against them
well
over the years.
Him.
Right? No,
we
all picked
him.
We all picked
everyone
him.
Everyone did, yep.
When you've got Rogic having an off day and then Hatate as well, that it goes back to that point. You know, you could maybe get away with one of them in there. See the Hatate of the Celtic Park game against them? It, you know, everywhere, tracking back, you know, receiving the ball in tight spaces, moving it on. That wasn't there. It's not been there for very often.
How many good games has he had? And without being a dick, Hatate has had a few good games, and that is, and yet he's got fucking credit in the bank like nobody.
Yeah, but I mean, the games he's performed well, and he's performed well against Rangers. He didn't play a bit against Bodo Glimt, either of those games, weirdly. St Johnstone, I thought he was excellent. You know, this is a guy, and we really can't underestimate the fact that he's played an entire season and he's knackered, because that does play into it. It really does.
I mean, there's a lot of players who've came in, well, not a lot, but a lot of the players that came in January, I've said it before, I'll say it again, next season, pre-season in their legs, fit into the club, we'll see how they go. See, on the point being is Rogic and Hatate were not good at all on Sunday.
Yeah.
The options that were on the bench, it was obvious for me, O'Reilly for Rogic. And when O'Reilly came on, he looked sharp.
Yeah.
I thought he did look sharp. Can't believe I'm going to say this.
Oh, God, here we go.
Yes, love it.
He does love it. I know what he's going to say.
You were looking for Beaton to come on in the six and move McGregor up to the eight, weren't you?
Probably, aye. Mm.
Because, well, we've got Ediguchi, who hasn't really featured. We've got McCarthy, who, you know, you're not going to put in there. So you're looking for Beaton. That gives you the ability to kind of bring the ball forward, steady the ship as well. It gives you McGregor's industry further forward. And then you see O'Reilly come on and he was looking a bit sharper. But we didn't have that, and that didn't happen. Because See with McGregor moving forward into the 8, I know a lot of people prefer him playing in the 6, but having that option when Hitati's not on his game, I think, is key. And I would have liked to have seen that on Sunday. But
the amount of times that McGregor broke into the 8 position and just drove with the ball, there was no one driving with the ball. Tom Rogic, as we said, was off and was being bear hugged by Bassi on a regular basis. But when McGregor gets into that 8 and he drives, look at the game at Ibrox. How did we equalise? We equalise because McGregor drives. So for me, I mean, I'm very much of the opinion I don't know. I think McGregor might be better than you.
Well,
but
that's a different debate for a different time.
There's a podcast in that problem.
But again, I'll
not be on it.
I think that kind of alludes to going back to system, like you mentioned earlier. Like the system didn't work at the weekend. And yet we were, you know, you had McGregor.
I think the system did work. It's just that the players didn't.
There's also part of me thinks though.
I don't think we created much though. I
think that comes down to Jota and Abada.
There's two things though. There's two things there. Neither did they.
Yeah. No,
you
know, I know.
They didn't either. Can you imagine the conversation that we would be having today if Vickers had put the ball into that? They wouldn't see if we went 2-0 up. That game was done.
Yeah.
That game was done. And sometimes I'm starting to think in my head, are we going over the top? You know, a lot of these players didn't turn up. I'm not a big fan of that phrase, but they weren't on form on the day. Are we overthinking it? Are we bestowing too much tactical new on Van Bronckhorst as compared to Ange? I don't know. I just don't
want
to...
We were just desperate for the treble.
But at the same time as well, see, before Rodgers, we had one treble in 40 years.
I know.
And it's no like... And again, it goes back to the point I made earlier on. We're all desperate to dismiss them. That they're, you know, it's either, you know, they're shite that we've got them, you know, we cannot, I'm not going to do it right now, but giving them anything is really difficult. But at the same time, Sunday for me is key. I've said it before. I will be the biggest panic merchant slagging everybody on Tuesday if we're back in the weekly if we don't pick up 3 points on Sunday. I just think, in terms of where we've done, what we've done, where we've been and all that sort of stuff. It's a sore one because that's them had two big results coming shortly after it. Whereas we had St Johnstone in the game against them. I don't know. I'm just talking out loud now. I'll shut up.
In regards to them, right, I just want to say this, right. They're really functional and they know their roles. And this has been like a 4 or 5 year project and they know exactly how to play this. The thing that beat us on Sunday was us, though. I think you're right in regards to, I think people are very quick to turn around and not give them anything. And by the way, I'm all for that. I will be honest with you. Still have to have that kind of feet in reality. They're in the semi-final of the Europa League. We can mock that. We can mock them all we want, but they have been turning up to big games in Europe this season, right? Doesn't really matter how they got there, right? The fact is, they are really functional and they had an intensity that we didn't have, and it still took them until fucking injury time, extra time to beat us. We were not at the races, is how you could say that. But ultimately, if we turn up and play our best, and if they turn up and play our best, then I have full confidence we'll beat them. That's what it comes down to. We had too many players off it.
Yeah,
the goals are sloppy as well. I mean, the goals are piss.
The goals are terrible. Yeah. I mean, as soon as the second goal went in, I didn't even look at the replay, and people are saying it's a Starfelt, on goal. But I think we are going over the top, but we're not going over the top. It's hard to put into context. We can put this into context at the end of the season, but I'm not going to sit here and kid on. I'm not upset.
No,
angry,
and you can't. The performance was indefensible.
And we still could have won.
See, when you compare it to last season, I'm not doing that. I hate that. That's old hat. The bottom line is we blew a big chance to probably line up what could be a treble. And that's not good. Bigger picture stuff, though, is if we win this league, it's still a remarkable season for us. And I'm saying it again, it's, don't focus on that. Even the game against them at Celtic Park, it's going to be so different in terms of atmosphere. It's going to be a different referee, I'm assuming. So that, you know, the idea that because they beat us on Sunday, they're definitely going to beat us at Celtic Park, that doesn't compute. So I don't know. I'm just, maybe I'm doing this for myself. Maybe I'm trying to convince myself, but I'm just thinking, put it to one side, it was shite. There was not very too much to say positive about it, but we've got a bigger picture here. And McGregor at the end, I'd love to see what he was saying when he got the players around him. I'm hoping he's saying, right, that's done. You know, that wasn't good enough. Let's move on. Let's, you know, that's what you want. It's about focusing and realising that there's still so much to play for. It's a sore one. It still hurts. But at the same time,
15 points to play for. We're 6 ahead. 7, yeah, if you, in inverted commas, if you take goal difference into it, because obviously if it was equal, we'd win on goal difference.
Yeah.
So this is our league to win. We are in the driving seat, and that's what we need to focus on.
Yeah, I mean, and we will focus on the the game coming up at the weekend. But, you know, obviously Taylor and Juranovic had to go off, and that
Abada, you know, and Maeda had to go off.
Abada,
well.
Yeah. But I think Taylor and Juranovic, obviously them going off and having to bring Welsh on and Ralston, and you know that ended up very messy.
I feel sorry for Stephen Welsh because he was appallingly bad, but he was played out of position.
Yeah,
and, you know, I think it's, I feel sorry for him because, you know, it's like playing any centre-half, playing them as a full-back, with the exception of a few, it's just like, it's just never going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, you could focus on the I think that's when it completely fell to pieces.
Aye, yeah.
Yeah.
See, when the full-backs, when Taylor and Juranovic were both off, and then you're replacing that with Ralston at left back and Welsh at right back. The shape was all over the place. It was gone. I'm not a big fan of Welsh, but I'm not going to stick the boot in him playing at right back because he's not playing there. Even Ralston, because Ralston's not a left back, and, you know, he deserves credit for his contribution this season, but I think we all know he's not what we want going forward. When we got into that position,
So we had Kyogo. Obviously Kyogo came on very rusty, and, you know, none of us are going to be maybe too surprised or too worried about that necessarily. David Turnbull came on, Matt O'Reilly, Ralston and Welsh, as we mentioned. James Forrest also came on. He's done.
I can't. Like, so when James Forrest came on, when he was warming up and he was coming down the stairs of the kind of area, technical area, I kind of just forgot he was on the bench even. Like, he's not a guy, when I think, right, we need to go to the bench for something, James Forrest doesn't even come into my way of thinking anymore. And he just looked
shite.
I was a wee bit embarrassed for him, to be honest.
He looks miles off the... you know, if Alan Edgar's turning on him, which he did, I think we can all agree on the agenda. but, like, he just looks like...
His brother's better now.
Oh, he's got to go down.
See, I mean...
his brother's signing for Aberdeen, I think.
Is he?
Forrest, I mean, the thing about Forrest is he's always been a player that he's been marmite with the Celtic fans, you know. There's been a million times where he's been written off. I mean, we'd done it before Rodgers came in. He's then come on and he's had a really good spell for us. But he really does look like injuries have caught up with
him. Exactly. See that phrase, injuries have caught up with him? That's exactly what it feels like. He's not. He's lost his maybe 5 yards or 10 yards of pace.
Yeah, and he's not technically good enough to adjust. You know, there's a lot of players out there who are blessed with pace, but technical ability that when they lose that pace, they're still able to contribute. You know, Giggs is somebody.
Definitely.
We're not comparing Giggs to James Forrest. But you know what I mean? When Giggs lost that pace, he was still a very good player because of his technical ability. Forrest doesn't have that base technical ability to be able to adapt to it. So, you know, he might go on to prove us wrong. I doubt it.
I would imagine that if James Forrest left Celtic in the summer, he would leave with everyone's good wishes. But I don't think there would be too many people going, oh, I'm gutted James Forrest has left. And that's not gutted because he's not been an amazing servant and he's not contributed so much, but sometimes it's just time for players to go, you know. And that's it. I don't think James Forrest will, if everyone's fit, because that's a Scottish Cup squad where there's extra players and all that, like, so if everyone's fit, I'm not sure Forrest makes the bench moving forward. Mm-hmm. So you know, for his own good, I'm sure it probably would be better if he kind of moved on, because I think his game time is going to be very limited. And I feel for him because I think he's a quality player on his day or of days gone yore.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look, sorry, Louis, just to kind of interrupt. We're looking at it in the window of this five games, right? You'll get, he's had injury problems this season. He'll get pre-season, but, you know, if he's done by then, do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's whatever it is. I don't think he's going to make a big contribution before now and the end of the season.
No.
I think to kind of finish up on the game, we need to have learned something from it. Like, we need to take something from this whole, you know, the experience of it. I think the main thing that I think I've seen and heard most people talk about, or the kind of general consensus, is the squad just isn't there. You know, that we're maybe not quite there in terms of overall squad depth that we maybe thought they were. You know, I mean, even look at them, the subs that they made. Now, on paper, you would look at them and say, ah, they're shite, but they were effective.
Yep.
Way more effective than what our subs were. What else would you take from it? Is there anything, what are your kind of main lessons that you think Ange has kind of got to learn? I'll start us off. I think my main thing is that I would like almost like a plan B, and I'm not saying a totally different way of playing, but I want to see us having the ability to adapt to these sort of situations when they come up. If we're going to go and play in the Champions League, we can't be blasé about it like we maybe were under the rat and think, oh, we can just fucking play our football, it doesn't matter, and go into it all arrogant and then end up getting pumped. I want to see us, and I'm, this doesn't mean that we just hoof it long and we were doing that way too much at the weekend. I just want to see us adapt subtly, make subtle tweaks. Like I was saying, if we are getting roughed up in the middle of the park, well, surely we should be able to work around that. You know, you have to accept the conditions that you're playing in and adapt to it in some way. And I think that's, don't get me wrong, I think players obviously have a kind of learning curve to go through, and but none of us are going to sit here and say we're the finished article. Obviously we're not. But I think that's something that Ange has got to get through. You know, Ange has to develop in that way as well. I don't want to see us going into a situation where we look as if we're trying to figure it out, because we just look like a team at the weekend that were just like trying to run away from players snapping at our ankles and thinking, oh fuck, what do I do? What do I do now? You know, if we do have the answers like Ange says, then we need to be able to see it, and you've got to adapt to situations. So I think that's the main one for me.
I can go. I've got a couple. The first one is Maeda needs to start every game on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Abada needs a run of games before he's going to heat up, I think, is probably what I'd describe it as. I don't think bringing him out of the cold, you're going to get the best out of him. I think we have two starting fullbacks, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody can come in behind them and do what those two guys do. That's not to say that I don't want necessarily someone to come in and challenge Taylor and Juranovic in those positions. Of course, you want everyone you want 22 players fighting for every position. But the two fullbacks we have, and Taylor and Juranovic, are the only two fullbacks that are going to work. That's what I think. What else have we learned? I think we learn that if we turn up and we have the right frame of mind, I think we beat them. And that's not me being arrogant. I think that's just, if we were sharp on Sunday, I think we would have got a result. And the fact is that they, you know, the media are portraying this great Rangers midfield performance. They took us to extra time when we were off the boil. And that says a lot more. And that's what we can learn from it, that if we are sharp and we're good, we can beat them. That's it.
I think, well, we learned, and probably we've been even learning it, but I think it was reinforced along with the Bodo game, is if we want to go to the next level, and I think this was touched on in the agenda yesterday, I think it was Kieran that said it, you probably do need to have some conversations about the personnel we've got. Ange isn't going to stop us from playing out for the back. The players we've got in defence and the goalkeeper aren't going to be able to do that at the next level, I don't think. It's a point I've regularly made, though, is you can't substitute their core abilities. You know, I think Starfelt and Vickers and Hart are all very good at, you know, at goalkeeper and very good at defending. Penalty box defenders, I think the two of them are excellent.
Yeah.
It's about getting that balance of somebody who's then able to kind of bring the ball out and play a bit better, but not giving up the fact that the two of them are very good at that. And it's the same with Hart. We tried that with Barkas. Barkas was supposedly better with his feet. He was deplorable when it came to stopping the ball going into the net. And then we regressed to a Craig Gordon type keeper with Joe Hart because he's more than capable of making big saves, you know, absolutely fantastic. But much like Gordon when he played under Rodgers, you can't make him into something he's not. So that's maybe a discussion point for next season.
Do you think CCV is going to sign? Because I don't.
I don't know.
I just get the feeling, it would have been.
And I don't care either, right? And when I say I don't care, because I think one thing that Ange has said, and I totally stand by, and he said it when Christie was talking about staying or going, I'm only interested in players that want to play for this football club. See if Vickers wants to stay and play for us, brilliant, I do like him. Same with Jota. See if they don't, cheerio. No time for sentimentality. That's gone. Look at the situation we got ourselves into with Ayer, Edward and Christie. We didn't know where we were coming or going at the start of the season. So see if there's any notion that they don't want to be here. Cheerio.
But the fact of the matter is, though, if Carter Vickers and Jota, like, if I'm not saying that Celtic should give them an ultimatum, but we should be thinking about the rebuild now. Whether we win the league or not, we should be thinking about next season now. This is the problem I personally have with the club. I don't think we do enough. And maybe that will change under Ange. I don't know. Maybe it will.
I'd be very surprised if it wasn't already pretty far down the line either way.
Well,
it's just they're not going to tell us.
I know, but at the same time, do you trust them? Because I fucking
don't. I don't trust them, no. But I trust Ange to a certain extent. And
yeah.
I think that
I think that he's
not going to be waiting until the end of the season to know whether he's going to have either of them. And I think Champions League football does play a massive part.
It does.
Cameron Carter-Vickers is not going to go to our Champions League team.
No.
With all due respect, so.
See, that's the thing with Ange. Regardless of what happens between now and the end of the season, I think he's got enough in the bank to go to the board and say, if you want this to continue on the trajectory it is, I need this. He also seems like the sort of guy, if he's getting shortchanged, he'll go, ah, cheerio.
Ah, yeah.
So the trust in him's the key thing here. We don't trust the board, we know that. Trust, and do you know what? Our trust might be misplaced with Ange. It's only season one. I'm not saying that's the case. But right now, I think you need to place that in them. And
yes,
that's the only thing we can rely on.
I agree.
Right, that takes us to this weekend. You've obviously spoken about how nervous you are about it, Slimani. Ross County away. Going up to Dingwall. Massive game. You know, what, five games left. How much of a statement do you think they want to kind of make up there? I mean, Ange himself, personally, I'm sure will be reeling from the weekend. You know, I think he's that type of guy.
Yeah.
It's one of these ones that it's probably a good game to have, although it's a tricky one in terms of being away.
Mm.
It's a big, back into a high-pressure environment again, which can only be good.
Well, I mean, how much of a statement will they want to make? I think they'll just want to win the game. I mean, that's the main thing for me. It's like, I don't think Sunday undoes everything in terms of, we made a big statement the week before against St Johnson. I think now it's just about getting over. This one's key. This is huge for me.
This is the one, I think.
This is the one. It's if we win on Sunday, I think it's, I'm not going to say that we're definitely going to win the league because that's not what I do, but I think it would be a monumental step to doing it because out of all the fixtures we've got two away games, don't we? We've got Dundee United at Tannadice
and Ross County.
And Ross County away. See if you've then got three home games, including one against them, that you could probably then afford to draw and still be there. I think this would be a huge hurdle. What I don't like about it is they got into the top six. Mackay came in there, whatever you think of Mackay. He's got them playing really compact, difficult to beat. So going up there as a potential banana skin, I think if we get over this, you can start to then feel a wee bit more relaxed about going forward. So I said it even before the semi-final on Sunday, this was a bigger game than the semi-final for me. You just obviously don't think that because you're playing against them. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. And as I said, if we win, brilliant. I think we're on the right trajectory. If we lose, let's not think about that. But
the last time we went up there, obviously, was Ralston's winner very, very late on in extra time. The team that day, because we were at that point struggling with COVID and things, Ralston right back, Carter Vickerstaff felt Liam Scales.
Oh, fucking hell.
Turnbull beat on McGregor, Juranovic wide right.
Oh, he was wide right, yeah.
Abada through the middle, and Montgomery left.
Fucking hell.
Now, obviously, there was the injury concerns at the weekend. I think from Angie's comments, it kind of doesn't sound as if there's anything too major.
Do you want me to play the clip? It's only a minute.
Go on you go.
Leila Bada had to go off injured. Maeda went off as well. Is he injured? Can you give us an update on how they're doing just now?
Yeah, Leil, I think, just cramped up. He hasn't played for a while. Maeda was just ran himself into the ground, so we had some James Forrest put on some extra legs, but you know, apart from that, I'm not sure everyone else seems okay.
So
James Forrest for some extra legs. There we go.
Yep, sorry Lou.
We're going to go up there and you would imagine a very different team, obviously. Changes, would you make any changes? Or do you put the onus on the likes of Jota and Abada and Hatate? Do you demand that they go out and prove that they're better than what they showed at the weekend?
I don't think Abada will be available, so I definitely go Kyogo up front, Maeda on the left, Jota on the right. I think you then just go, I would probably go with McGregor, O'Reilly, and here's the kicker. Turners and Hooch. Get Turnbull in there. A little bit of Turnbullitis.
In the eight.
Aye. Nah. Nah, I don't know. I think Hatate's a quality footballer. I think that he's kind of running on empty a little bit. And that's no, you know, criticism of him overall, because I understand that he's had a whole big season in Japan.
I want him to get to fuck.
Of course you do. Gimmick. I think the front three, I think you go with the strongest that we have, which is Maeda on the left, Jota on the right, Kyogo through the middle. The six, McGregor. I would probably say O'Reilly is a stick on his start. I mentioned on when we did the Cynic Radio about the idea of, I think Ange will once again at some point try O'Reilly and Rogic, both in the eight. Is this the game to do it? Is there too much kind of, I don't know, maybe this is the game to try it. And then the back five hopefully will be our back five that we know and love. With any changes it brings, you know, Ralston starting over Juranovic. Juranovic is the best fullback we have, let alone the best right back we have. So I'd like the back five to be the same. I think the question mark is on that second eight. But Chris,
back five that we know and love.
Back five that we know.
Forget Greg Taylor. Yeah. Sorry, on you go.
I would agree. Kyogo looked really rusty. I mean, he looked miles short. But moving Maeda into the middle neutralises his best abilities, so I would play him in the left too. Jota on the right. Aye.
What if Gigi's back? Do you play Gigi instead of Kyogo?
Depends on the fitness levels, but
If Ross County are going to basically be... Because when they came at Celtic Park, they tried to be a little bit expansive and we absolutely fucking pumped them, right? So you would imagine that Malky Mackay might think, I'm just going to kind of play this, sit back, hit them on the counter attack. They're going to play with a high line, so you know, we'll try and use Charles Cook's pace and that. So is this game fit for Gigi? It might be. I just don't think he'll be fit.
That's the issue, isn't it?
Because he has a penalty box.
But remember, the only good thing Jota can do right now is put crosses into Gigi. That's pretty much the only only trick he's got.
Well, that'll fucking do.
Well, that's why I think play him.
You've got to hope he's on the bench, because we've talked about it in the past, and you know, the overall style and blah blah blah. See, against Campton defences, he's already proven that he can. You know, that penalty box striker that he can nick a goal. I think that would be really, really reassuring if he's even on the bench, because Kyogo's nowhere near it. So
Kyogo still has an X factor, though. I mean, he really does.
The two of them, you've got if you can get the two of them out or something, on, something out of the two of them, sorry, on Sunday, then I wouldn't care who started. It would just be nice to have them both available. If we need them, you know.
I agree.
I think it'll be disappointing if we don't get anything else out of Kyogo before the end of the season. And I know it's not the guy's fault, he's been injured, but it'd just be fucking shite luck. You know, we've been without him for so long. We felt as if we were getting him back for the game at Ibrox. Never happened. Game of the weekend, doesn't he start? It's like, you know, when are we going to get him back?
But it's the fact is, he's back. I think we just assumed he's back and he'll be raring to go. The fact that he's came back and he's not hit the ground running and he's looked rusty might... That might work out.
Playing his favour a little bit, I think.
It might be that a fire's lit under him with three games to go or whatever, and he's the guy that sees us over the line. So, I don't know. I'm glad he's there. You're right about the X factor, and we've seen what he's done previously. You know, maybe he just needs a couple of games to warm into it.
Honestly, though, I mean, I'm telling you, see with those Ross County defenders and that team, see if they look at the lineup on Sunday and Kyogo's not starting, they'll think, fucking great. See if he is starting, they'll think, right, okay, we're going to have to be extra sharp and on it. And I think that takes away from their concentration levels. So I think Kyogo, that X factor isn't necessarily just from how good a footballer he is, which he's an exceptional footballer. It's more of a mental thing as well. I think he occupies space, him and Maeda occupy space the way that other players don't, even outside the box. And I think, like, you know, flies to a trap, I think those defenders will be really keen to get close to him and it'll lead to space, hopefully.
Yeah, I think I agree with you in the Turnbull point. I would quite like to see Turnbull come back into the team. And I think I said this before, I can't remember if it was the Ross County game previously, but like the Tam O'Reilly thing, like, you know, if you are going to have a team that's pure camped in, and that's when you're going to use those two players together.
Yeah.
But whether it happens at the weekend, I don't know. I can't really see it, to be honest with you. I think the most important thing probably is just that we pick ourselves up. And I know what you're saying about the 3 points is all that really matters, of course. But I also think they will want to make a bit of a statement. I think the likes of Cal McGregor will want to make a bit of a statement. Ange will want to make a bit of a statement. Yeah. We are better than what we showed at the weekend. But we need to get back to playing our football. Don't be dictated to by any other team. And hopefully, and it's what I wanted to see after the Ibrox game, to be honest with you. I wanted to see us at the weekend have the bit between our teeth to prove a point. And we spoke about it last week. Prove that we are better than what we showed then. Well, that's basically what we've got to do, certainly for this weekend, but also the game against them at Celtic Park. Predictions? Fuck it, why not?
2-0 Celtic.
2-0.
3-0.
I'm going to go 4-0.
That symmetry. Not symmetry and numbers.
I'll take any of them.
Numbers and that. This has been a pleasure. It's been great to be back. You enjoyed it, Samani?
Can I give you guys some questions?
Yes, yes. Go on. Question time.
Okay, I'll give you one each. Okay. This is from...
No, sorry. Right, on you go. Just being a dick.
Louis, this is for you. This is from... we had some questions from our Discord server. This is from Farside. Should we be looking to get Ange on a multi-year contract rather than the rolling one like we did with Rodgers? Would you be keen on that?
No. Quite happy with the one you're rolling, to be honest with you. As somebody says, I don't know what might happen next year. He might shit the bed. So let's not tie ourselves up in contractual obligations.
Sean M asks, and this is for you, Samani, does Jota's performances in important games change any of the panel's mind about whether to sign him or not?
No. It goes back to the point I made about players that want to be at the club. See, if Jota wants to be at Celtic and he's happy to sign, I'd pay the money for him based on what he's done. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't good. He really wasn't good. And people will point to the fact that he's maybe not kind of lit up the stage against them or whatever. But he's made really important contributions for us. I think he's a player who would probably only get better. But the caveat is, see if he's humming and hawing, away you go.
Couldn't agree more. Matt McGough, this is perfect for you, Louis. What's the panel's level of shitting it for the run-in? 1 equals no sweat, it's in the bag. 10 equals the job's fucked. I reckon I'm at a 4. Celtic Twitter seems to be at 50. What are you at, Louis?
A fucking zero, my friend. Don't even watch the rest of them. Stan.
It's pretty good.
I'm more thinking about performances. I just want
I
want to fucking pump him at Celtic Park. I want
Big Louis Haran here. Remember that? The trebles in the bag.
Oh, Jesus.
Five wouldn't be enough.
I'm going to give you... Paul McCall asks, your favourite non-Celtic strip, Sir Manny, do you have a favourite non-Celtic football strip?
The mid-90s Fiorentina one with Nintendo, Batigol.
I'll ask you that one as well, Lou. Have you got a favourite one outside of the Celtic strip?
Other than the Fiorentina one, because I got that in our friends over in China.
Yep.
The other one growing up that I loved was a Dortmund one with Oliver on the front.
Oh, yeah.
Had a black collar and the kind of white panelling on the side.
Yes, very nice.
Also the Italy top from the World Cup.
94?
Yep.
98?
No, 98.
Oh, 98, okay.
In fact, no. Do you know what? It wasn't a World Cup. It was a Euros, was it? No.
The Puma one?
No, it was a Kappa one. Kind of tight fitted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Euro 2000.
Yes.
I've got the home and the away version of that. Del Piero
said it was a bit figure hugging for me. I preferred the World Cup 98.
Let me assure you, it's a little bit too figure hugging for me as well. There's no question about it. Final question, Mark McGee. Sorry, we've had those other questions, but we've ran out of time and we'll hopefully pick them up during the rest of the week, because we've got the Lunch Club on Friday as well. Mark McGee asks, who wins in the boxing this weekend, Dillian White or Bobby Madden?
Bobby Madden. He just makes up his own rules.
Oof, like something from a Rocky film.
That'll do.
I just meant what you said. Okay, sorry. Close it down.
So I was...
I think we're done now.
Question time was lovely. So Manny, have you enjoyed it?
I have. Temperature's a bit warm, just for the next time. Coffee was fine. Water was a nice temperature. Maybe crack a window the next time. Magic.
I'd like to have a toilet in here.
If you add a toilet, you have to get planning permission.
Aye, but I know a guy.
What does that mean?
Well, you'd have got planning permission.
He can get you a piece of dough, no bother at all.
Fucking big Tony Soprano over here. We'll talk.
So, Manny, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Louis, it's been tremendous. In person is the way forward.
Absolutely. Gal, it's great to have you back on where it all started.
It's been a genuine joy. It feels like a throwback, but hopefully we'll do more of these. And I love being a panelist on the weekly. It's great.
A throw forward.
Throw forward.
This has been the Cynic Weekly. I've been Louis McCaffrey, and we'll speak to you down the road.